John's just trying to make sure we get out of here early.
He knows me.
Yeah, he knows me, because he didn't know I cut it down from Marty, too.
You can say it's a song.
Oh, no. Brian, I got this on, but it's not getting it. It's probably muted back there.
Test 1-2, test 1-2-3, there we go. Good morning, it's good to see everybody. I was trying to think and put in the right perspective. Babe, can you pull that back? I want it just kind of right in front of just where.
You want it where?
Just go that way with it a little bit. There you go, thank you. I was trying to put it, I'm terrible. Auntie has to keep track of dates and calendars and all that stuff for me. Anyhow, I'll lose track of how old I am even. But I was going back on my notes and I was trying to see how long it had been since retired from here, from being your pastor. And Jay and I were talking about it a little bit this morning, and realized last month, November, I started my fifth year of being full-time with our company. So it's been four full years, and we're starting our fifth year. It's not that, though we may, with through COVID and everything else, may not have been here. We have been listening in. I will tell you that. That's been a blessing, and I hope there's others that are listening in this morning, because we've got to do what we can do to make sure we keep putting God's word out there, don't we? And so we appreciate y'all's faithfulness. Pretty apropos song that Brian just got through doing for us, in the sense that God is faithful to us, and so we need to continue in all that we can do to be faithful to Him. So it is good to see y'all. There are, as R.L. said, there are a lot that need our prayers right now with this COVID. But even besides that, we've got Katie, and I know I'm going to forget some people, and I know that's probably why R.L. didn't go down the whole list, because there's a long list, but especially on my heart this morning is Katie and Brandy and their family, and then also Buddy Murray and their family, Tasha. Hopefully everybody got the update. Oh, really? Well, they did. They moved him out of ICU this morning. He's in a room early this morning, and so that's just been. That's been on our minds and our hearts. I have a very special relationship with Black Plumbing. Obviously, I've known them for years. That's the kind of business that we're doing. But the owners of that company and I are dear friends now, and he's just heartbroken. I've talked to him probably more than we've talked. I personally have talked to Tasha or any of them. He's just devastated by this. So there is a lot that need our prayers, and I know there's many, many more. And like I said, I don't want to shrink from that. There's a lot of them that need it, but those especially are on my heart. If you have your Bible, if you would like to turn to Joshua chapter 1, when Jay asked me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe even longer than that, if I'd be available to fill in this morning, I started kind of thinking and praying about and reading through what I wanted, and I just got stuck on the book of Joshua. This morning we're looking at the first part. Are we having services this evening? Anyway, if we have services this evening, we're going to look at the end. If not, that's all right too. I understand. But I want to share with you, and this is such a special passage for me. It's a special book. Any time that you look at pastoring a church, or any time you look at trying to run a business or lead anybody. And we now in our company, there's something like 16 of us now. A lot of them are part-time and things like that that are scattered throughout the state teaching at different times. And so Scott and Matt and I kind of share, and Chad, my nephew, we share responsibilities of leadership, taking care of different things. But I always come back to whenever I'm struggling with something or whenever I'm wanting to get some insight, when I come back to God's Word, I just get stuck on the book of Joshua. It's such a great story. And so I just want to read for you. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11 this morning. And I won't keep you long. I know that sounds like an empty promise for you, those that know me real well, but I won't. We're going to move it along. But we're going to take enough time to see that God has a message for us. As we're coming out and putting an end to 2020, thank the Lord. It's been a year, hasn't it? And we look forward to what 2021 has in store for us, not only with everything going on in our country, but here in this church. You know, the committee is looking right now and searching and for who will be the new pastor of this church. And so it is that time of transition, isn't it? And that's where we find God's people, the Israelites, in the book of Joshua in chapter 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, that's just tender, loving care right there, isn't it? That's not soft-selling or anything else. That's just the Lord saying, hey, here's where's our situation. Moses is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country and the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything within it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will give you whatever, be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officials of the people, go throughout the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. Pretty interesting, isn't it? The way God dealt with the children of Israel, if you can say it that way. Moses, you know, led them once already to the edge, and then because of different things, they wound up wandering in the desert for 40 days, or excuse me, 40 years. And now they've come back around, and now Moses is gone. So now they're in transition, aren't they? They're in a different place. They're getting ready for something different. They have a different leader now in Joshua. It always stands out to me And I'll get to it here in a minute, but I just want to mention it. I guess, ask the question, do you think maybe God sensed that Joshua might be a little apprehensive about all this? We get a hint from that, don't we, in three different times. I think it's, what, verse 6, 7, and 9? He repeats that same thing, be strong and courageous. And then he finally says, you know, haven't I said this? Remember, be strong and courageous. And why would he say that? Because God knows their hearts and he knows our hearts. And when there's change, when there's transition, when things aren't how we're used to having them, then that can cause that fear and that to be discouraged, can it? And so I want to share with you just a couple of thoughts, really three, on this topic. And the title is Possessing Your Destiny for the New Year. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that word destiny. A lot of people think that it's karma or that, you know, something like that, you know, that it's some kind of a strange fate or some kind. But that's not what, when the Bible talks about destiny, and the destiny I'm talking about is something totally different. It's not what's taught by all those other religions. What I'm talking about destiny is what God has already promised. You might say, well, fine, then just give it to me. Well, what did God, what did we just read? What did God just tell the children of Israel? Listen, I've already given it to you, but you have to do something. You have to, there's your part in this. And so just understand that when we talk about destiny, we're not talking about some new age kind of thing or karma or anything like that. I'm just making the saying, the point or the way I'm using it is that God has already promised us. I mean, I was two or three of the songs we sang this morning. We reaffirmed that, didn't we? And that God will take care of us. God will provide. And God has already provided. But sometimes we get in this transition periods, a new year, new leadership, new things happening, you know, some not that great with COVID. And we began to get discouraged and we began to get fearful. And we just need to remember that what God has possessed already for us, our destiny that he's given us as believers. First of all, is always good, isn't it? You cannot find a single thing in God's Word, I don't think, that as believers, if we will follow God's leadership, that he says, well, that's good, you follow us, but this bad thing's going to happen to you. He doesn't say that, does he? Over and over again. Matter of fact, Jennifer's favorite verse is Jeremiah 29:11. He said, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans that give you hope. My goodness, hope. We need that in 2021, don't we? We need hope. But the Bible also tells us that we get to choose that destiny. And there's some other verses there, but Deuteronomy 30:19 basically says, I have set for you life and death, blessings or curses. Now choose life so that your children may live. What God is telling us is that, yes, he has he already has these possessions for us. But he's not going to just hand it to us on a platter. He wants us to do our part. I mean, think about it. Think about all of the major miracles, events, however you want to say it, that either God the Father did or Jesus the Son did. A great deal of them, he said, okay, this is, you know, here is that miracle. but you do your part. Rolling the stone away. I mean, think about it. If he could have raised, if God had the power to raise his son from the dead, don't you think he had enough power to move the rock out of the way? Amen? My favorite message, and I almost brought it this morning, but I figure y'all are tired of hearing it, but that's out of the stick that gets thrown and the axe pick, axe head that gets in the water. You know, God causes it to raise up to the top. Don't you think if he had enough power to do that, he had enough power to bring it up to the shore too? But what does he say? He said, reach out and take it, doesn't he? Same thing's going to be here. And you're going to see here in a minute that God's going to tell them, okay, I've got this land that's going to possess for you. And once again, they have some water problems. All through their time, they were always having problems with water, weren't they? You know, when they left and they came to the Red Sea, there was a problem. They couldn't get through the water, so God parted it. After they get through the Red Sea, they get having problems with water again. So God has Moses strike a rock and provides water. And here they are at a water problem again. And God's going to do something a little bit different with that. The point that I want to make, or the point that I'm trying to make this morning is, and I've said it already, we have to do our part. We have to be faithful that when God says step into the water, even though it's rushing by, that we'll do that. And it's hard sometimes, and sometimes it causes us to be fearful. Sometimes we get discouraged, don't we? I think God has this in his word for times such as this for each one of us. When we look around and we see what's going on and we're anxious about things. Three times now. Y'all know as parents, when you tell your kids something three times, you're pretty serious, right? Your kids know you're pretty serious when you say, grandkids, it's usually four or five. But for kids, it's three, right? God knows that too. That's why he tells his children three times, be strong, be courageous. It's because he knows that they might not be, but he's encouraging them. So, three things that we need to do to possess our destiny, possess what God already has for us and for this church in 2021. Three things. Number one, we've got to commence to move ahead. We got to start moving. We got to do it. There are things that are in transit for the transition. Y'all have been working on it, and I know it. But we need to just move on. The biggest problem we have is when we are confronted with something that we are anxious about, is we tend to go down in lockdown mode, don't we? Just hunker down and try to weather the storm. Well, God told Joshua, hey, tell them they need to get ready. Really what he was trying to tell us is, and might sound kind of funny coming from me, but you need to not get stuck in the past. We tend to do that, don't we? We like what we had, and so we tend to kind of gravitate back that way. That's why I thought it was so... I'm so amused by God's word when he just says, hey, Moses is dead. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of... wasn't a whole lot of sympathy there, was there? There wasn't a whole lot of comforting and from what we know from God. And it's because God said, listen, that's the past. I want you to look into the future, what I have for you. And I think he says he's saying the same thing to you and I today. We don't need to be all the time looking back into the past. We need to be looking to the future. We need to let go of it. He said, listen, there's a new era. Joshua is in charge of the new era. There's a new era for us here as well in 2021. We need to let go of those things from the past. Second thing he tells us is that we need to build our life completely on his word. Now, y'all know me well enough and to know that I know a good bit about building. All right? I mean, I taught that for so many years and have been in construction most of my adult life. We tend to always, and I've even said in messages before, how important it is for the foundation. And it is. My dad used to say all the time, if your foundation is weak, your building won't stand. And I took that to heart. But I want to tell you what he's saying here in Joshua is, we need to build our lives on God's word completely. Not just the foundation, but the structure, the walls, the roof, the doors, the restrooms, the kitchen, everything needs to be based on God's word. When we do that, there is just so many promises. Joshua, in verses 7 and 8, he says, "But be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Study this book of the laws continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will prosper." I am struck by, in verses 1 through 11, how many promises God gives that they're going to be prosperous if they will just do their part. Now, we're getting ready to see what was their part. It was a little scary. But he said, listen, the key to success is God's word. I know you probably remember it after I said it this time. I've said it a number of times in the years that I was your pastor, and that is that God's will is always in God's word. That's how we can know if somebody that's leading us, that we're listening to, if they're worthy of that, then what they say has got to be grounded in his word, huh? Because God's will is always, always in his word. He doesn't change, does he? He doesn't flip-flop. Boy, we could get off on that one pretty quick, couldn't we? We could talk if we get way chasing a rabbit here. All right? But God's not like that. When God gives a promise, that old saying, you can take it to the bank. You can take it to eternity. And he gives a number of promises here. And he tells us, listen, he even helps us. He said, let me help you here with how to get this word continued completely in all parts of your life. First, he says, be careful to obey it, study it, meditate on it. Meditate just simply means to concentrate on it. But then look at the last one. Be careful to do it. Not only do we meditate and think about it, but we need to step out and we need to do it. He said, don't turn from side to side. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get focusing on the problems that we've already been through with COVID. Don't get sidetracked by, you know, well, I don't know about this. Or he said, don't do that. Press on. Get ready. And then completely immerse yourself in my word. He says if we do that, we're going to be successful. Now, I know we're in the Old Testament, but just in case you've forgotten, Jesus said also, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Huh? So that ability or that promise is still there. So we need to make a plan. This church has done that. And then he says that you need to build our lives completely on God's word. I think the church has done that as well. But then he said there's a third thing that you have to do. And that is, you have to courageously step out in faith. Now you say, well, where does it say that? Well, a little bit of the history here, and I kind of already touched on it. The children of Israel kept having water problems. Now, as a plumber, I can understand that, but they had major water problems. When they left out of slavery, they had a water problem. They couldn't pass through the Red Sea, right? So God parts that for them. Then after they get out past all that, they have another water problem of needing some water to drink, and so God provides that. And now he says, okay, I want you to get ready, and I want you to go and go possess this land. Well, they have another water problem, and that is the Jordan. Now, usually when we think about the Jordan River, most of the time, other than springtime, it's not a great big raging storm river. But during the springtime, when the floods and the rains and all that, it is a big thing. And that's where they're at. They're in the springtime, and they're looking over there, and they're saying, okay, we're going to go pass over the Jordan and look at it, and it's just raging through it. And God says, you know what? Well, they are probably thinking, okay, God, you know, I can remember my parents telling me about the Red Sea and how you parted it. That'll be cool. And God says, well, we're going to do it a little bit different this time. And you think, okay, what are they going to do? Well, this time, God says, I want you to step in to the river. Now, put yourself there for just a minute. You've heard story after story from your parents or your grandparents of how every time there's been a problem with the water, you know, you needed to pass, God parted it. They walked across on dry land, and then God provided them with water when they were thirsty. And now, okay, we got to step into it. No wonder God said, God's word told him, be strong and courageous, huh? Now, like I said, just if you put that little illustration and understand it, they're talking about a raging river here. And Joshua does a pretty smart thing. He puts the preachers out in front, the priests, just as God said, and they're taking the Ark of the Covenant with them. And I just want you to think for a minute, you know, they put their feet in there. Water's still running. They go a little further out, knee deep. Water's still running. They get 5 feet deep, and it's still running. And they get waist deep, and it's still running. And that's not exactly what happened, because the scripture says as soon as their feet touched the water, God stopped it further up. The point is, the Jordan River became a great symbol of something they needed to get past. I mean, 40 years earlier, they couldn't get past it, could they? So now they come back, and there's only a select few that had been there before, if you want to say it that way, but they're right back to where that river again. As I think about that story, and as I mull on that, I think, isn't that just like God? How many times have you and I in our own lives came across something, and maybe we rebelled a little bit, and maybe we fought it, and we tried to go around it, and we got diverted? But God always brings us back to that spot, doesn't he? When we get everything right with him, and our relationship's back where it needs to be, and we're following him and trusting him, God always, in my life at least, and I'm looking at y'all's body language, your eyes, I'm thinking y'all the same way, God brings us right back to there. Wouldn't it be nice if he put us on the other side? But he doesn't, does he? He keeps us on that side and says, now, once again, let's take care of this. And that's what he does with the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to help you. And he said, I realize the first step is the scariest step. I understand that. But you need to take the step. Now, like I said, my spiritual imagination would like to think that they got out there waist deep before the water started slowing down. That'd make for a great story, wouldn't it? But it's not what the Bible says. The scripture says, as soon as their feet touched the water. So in other words, as soon as they were obedient, God was faithful. So really the point that I'm trying to make this morning is what is your Jordan River? What in 2020 did you go around? Did you try to avoid? Did you just really not want to tackle? May not be exactly what you want to hear, but I'm going to tell you, when we do these three things, when we get ready, when we completely surround ourselves or immerse ourselves in God's Word, and when we take that first step in faith, more than likely it's going to be from that same landing point that you tried to avoid in the first place. When I was getting ready for this, I thought, you know, what are our Jordan Rivers? We all have personal things. We have things that struggles that we deal with, health, you know, family matter. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. But I know this. Our God is faithful. And we just got through reading and singing about it, didn't we? Over and over and over again. He is faithful. And He has promised us, He's promised this church success. So get ready. Immerse ourselves completely in God's Word. And then take that first step of faith. He'll hold back the rivers. He said He will. And as I said, His will is in His Word. And His Word is something that you and I can take to eternity. Now, after He deals with the children of Israel here, Joshua takes control and they cross the river. Another reason that that God might have been telling Joshua to be strong and courageous is because He knows there are seven kingdoms over there. Every one of them have bigger armies. There's more people. They're more entrenched. And He knows as soon as He crosses, as soon as the children of Israel, He leads them across that river, they're going to be in a constant battle for that land. Boy, does that sound familiar. We need to understand as we come into 2021, that song, you know, God didn't promise us a rose garden, but He did promise us that He would be with us in the garden, didn't He? And we need to remember that. There will be battles. There will be struggles. There'll be times when we might get discouraged. And I hope if you don't remember anything else from this morning, remember that God told His children three times, be strong, be courageous. Be strong, be courageous. Didn't I say, remember, I told you, be strong and courageous. Well, y'all know me well enough to know, and I've said it before, when God repeats Himself in His Word, it's for a reason, isn't it? Same thing that when we repeat ourselves to our kids, it's for a reason. And that is, He wants us to take that as a promise. We can be strong and courageous because God, we have a God who is faithful. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come this morning in this time that we know there's struggles, we know there's issues, we know there's things going on in our lives that we could get discouraged and we could get fearful. But help us. Help us to take that promise that you said you're going to be with us through all of it. And then we can be strong and be courageous. Lord, I just thank you for the opportunity to once again be here and to spend time with my brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you for them. We thank you for their faithfulness through all these things. Lord, just continue to be with this church, be with the committee as they search for who will be the next pastor of this church. Be with every one of our members. Be with those that are sick. Be with those that just can't be here. Help us all to be strong and courageous. And help us to cross those Jordan rivers in our lives. We'll be sure to give you the praise and the glory and the honor, for you and you alone are worthy of them. It's in your name that we pray it. Amen.